You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to 4.0 to Pro, the pickleball podcast that focuses on a single shot, tip, or strategy to improve your pickleball game with every single pocket-sized episode. Our goal is to make you better on the court every time you hear our voices. And now your hosts, 4-point-something Michael O'Neill and USA Pickleball National Silver Medalist, Senior Pro Scott Fliegelman.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of 4.0 to Pro, your pocket-sized pickleball podcast, where we teach you a single shot or strategy every single episode. I'm Michael O'Neill here in Long Beach, California, joined by Scott Fliegelman, otherwise known as Fleegs, or Fella Gentleman, depending on the article of mail that you are reading. Scott, hello, sir.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you today?
I'm well. I've been all day in the garage doing vintage car things, and now very excited to talk a little pickleball coaching and how to choose a coach in this particular episode. Before we do that, however, 402p.com/Apple or 402p.com/Spotify to share this very show on your Facebook groups or on your websites or wherever. And if you'd like a carbon paddle, CRBN, the promo code for 10% off is 402P at checkout. That is at carbonpickleball.com. Scott, sir, I know you have a few shout outs. You've had a few people in Boulder Pickleball that you've coached, speaking of coaching, and you want to give them a little love on the old pod.
Yeah, more and more 402P listeners have joined us here at Boulder Pickleball. Last couple of weeks, I've really enjoyed Michelle Thompson from Atlanta, Greg Marinelli from Connecticut. Our members loved you guys. They loved getting their butts kicked by you guys, which was super fun for everyone. You are welcome back, and we look forward to seeing you guys continue thriving out on your respective competitive tours, sporting your Boulder Pickleball hats. And I also wanted to throw a little love to John Williams, a really talented ball player here in the Boulder area and host of the John Q podcast. Thanks, John, for a little 402P shout out on your show the other day. If you guys haven't listened or checked out John's podcast, they do an incredible job on the equipment side of things, amongst other areas of pickleball. But thanks, John, for coming in. You're playing really well.
One thing about the John Q podcast is that it's spelled K-E-W, in case you guys are looking for it on YouTube. It's John K-E-W, and I thought I would just let people know, lest they were searching for the Qs with the letter Q.
I guess there's a play on words there.
One other thing, guys, is that on a whim, I had a bit of a hair in me bum, and I said, why don't I make a 402P hat and a 402P sweatshirt? So they are now available at makeemhit.com. That's MakeemHit.com, makeemhit.com, a 4.0 to pro hat, a 4.0 to pro hoodie. I will say about the hoodie, I got a little tester here. I usually am a medium in general. I like a large and a sweatshirt. And so I ordered the large. It actually fits like a medium. So go a size up if you guys decide to order that particular sweatshirt. But it's very nice and cozy, perfect for these winter months. And sometimes, Scott, you want to get better at pickleball. And when you want to get better at pickleball, most often, you need a coach, which is why all these people fly in. They go to Boulder Pickleball to coach with you. But finding the right coach is a bit of a big deal. I have had three different coaches in pickleball, you being one of them. And I've had a couple other guys, one of which was kind of a get there, kind of a yell at you kind of dude. and the other one who is much more passive. And I've had to decide which way I like to learn better. So we thought, why don't we share with the folks out there? Let's figure out how to choose a coach to eventually make us better at this game we love so much. So being a coach, Scott, when you first connect with a new student, I'd love to hear the perspective of you as the coach. Like, how do you get to know your people and how do you disseminate what you do versus what other coaches do for potential players and clients?
Well, my first introduction to many players could be a combination of they walk onto my court and it's our first opportunity to get to know each other. But I prefer to have had a phone call, email, or in-person meeting prior to our first lesson. And I'm asking that player to share with me their short and long-term goals. And I also really want to know their background in sports, what they do for a living, and as much as I possibly can before we get started so that I might be able to tailor our introduction session and perhaps share a long-term plan with them that may hopefully align with their goals.
I'm not a certified coach, but I have coached a lot of people. One of the adages I bring from my entrepreneurial space is you don't have to be the best at the world in something. You just have to be better than the person you're trying to teach or further down the timeline, as we like to say. So goal setting, I think, is a really good idea. I think sometimes we don't always walk into a coaching session with a specific goal. I think you and I now have the kind of rapport where you're somewhat familiar with my game, and we all go through phases where a particular shot is doing well or not doing so well. And sometimes I'll say to you, I really want to work on this very specific thing versus you trying to take me through a narrative, which I think a lot of coaches do, where they have like a set coaching program and they plug people into it kind of whether or not they need that particular thing or not, but it's how their timeline works. I'm not saying one is better than the other, but in general, I like the idea of a bespoke coach. And I like the idea also, like if you're in a certain area, just starting to interview the good players around your area to find out who they are working with.
So regarding coaching styles, it's one of the areas of coaching experience that you guys should ask about and pay attention to. I've recently heard a student who took a lesson from a 19-year-old 5-0 plus player and said there were some beneficial things that they got from it. But not surprisingly, this 19-year-old pretty much had one canned lesson that they were good at. And it really didn't matter who the student was on the other side. One of the things you will likely be looking for, and you get the benefit from a very experienced coach, is that coach's ability to be student-centered, to have enough experience to be able to ask questions of the student and then be prepared to provide instruction and drilling and expertise based on what it is the student's looking for, whereas that less experienced coach is less comfortable doing so.
One of the other things to think about is just because someone's a great coach doesn't mean they can beat the player that they are coaching. Brad Gilbert was Andre Agassi's coach and couldn't beat him at all. Agassi was a much better player. It has a lot to do with a coach being able to identify what's going on with that particular player and also with a kind of a global worldview, being able to fix that particular thing, whether it's a physical limitation, whether it's a swing path thing, whether it's strategy. It's something that I think, Scott, you're particularly good at. You're very good at breaking down a particular reason why a particular shot is not going well, and or your visuals are very good. I remember when you were teaching me how to really carve a snowboard, you talked about that speedometer in like an old Cadillac, like a 70s Cadillac, and going smoothly from 0 to 60 and back down to 0 versus jumping. And it allowed me to really visualize what edge pressure was and keeping it consistent through a turn. So that's something you've always been able to do. You've taken that over to pickleball. And it's something that for me, it's a combination of that and the get there, like the Philly that we come with that I really appreciate. Like I really like to work hard when I'm being coached and probably respond a little bit less to a passive coach, whereas some people listening to this, that's all they want is someone to say, all right, so here's what happened on that last point, X, Y, Z. So I'm curious about your adaptability as a coach. When you have a new student and you find, I don't know if they give you the feedback or you just go, what I'm seemingly doing doesn't seem to be working. Let me tweak my approach a little bit. Can you recognize that in a new student?
I can. I do have a lot of new students, perhaps less than the 4.0 to pro level, where I'll ask some leading questions of key areas that you might like to focus on today. The more experienced students are ready. They break out a piece of paper, they break out their phone, they have that answer ready. Less experienced students will frequently say, well, I don't really know. Why don't you just watch and tell me? And I'm willing to do that. But my coaching style is very much guided discovery style. I'm asking a lot of leading questions. I want to see smoke and steam coming out of their ears as they're kind of overthinking things. That's the time for that. And then I'm prepared to take the lesson in whatever direction it needs to go. But again, I'm going to bring it right back frequently to the articulated set of goals. And that could be for today, for 6 months from now, or 4 years from now. Again, because this is the 4.0 to pro show, we're dealing with some really good players that may have some lofty goals, including playing pro or senior pro or NPL or one of those things. So I did want to circle back to, does your coach need to be better at pickleball than you? And that's going to get challenging for these really good listeners right now. It may depend on your learning style. If you are particularly adept at learning visually, you may need a coach who is able to provide a visual demo to help you produce the stroke mechanics necessary for incorporating a new element of your game. Either that coach is going to need to provide that for you on court, preferably, or be humble enough to reference some video options. Say, let's sit down and break out the iPad and take a look at James Ignatowicz's two-handed backhand dink and not feel like they have to have an ego that has to have them be the best in the sport. So let's keep that in mind. If you're a visual learner, can your coach demonstrate the strokes that you're looking to incorporate?
Well, the other thought is, Scott, a lot of these people don't have world-class pickleball coaches near them. So we have to start considering, how much am I willing to spend? How far am I willing to travel? Or even, can I record these lessons and send them to my coach for kind of a film breakdown? Can they review what I've done, give me some tips, and then we sort of go through remotely? I don't know if you offer that, but I know there are coaches in the world that do that. It's probably an idea for someone who's right now in the middle of somewhere that doesn't have the most thriving pickleball community, but I think it's probably something worthy of consideration.
Yeah, one of the questions that I would like you guys to ask of these prospective coaches is, what's your availability before you get too far along? And to your point that you just made, I have done some remote coaching, some online coaching, video review and such, and currently I'm not offering that because I'm booked. I'm just fully maxed out and not able to do that. I'm focused on the students that I have here and running a facility and preparing for some pro pickleball. So right now I can't do that, but there are lots of other great coaches around the country if you don't have those resources in your neighborhood. Before you jump to that, it is often a good idea to see if you can't find a player a half or a full level better than you, who perhaps was in your shoes and was able to work with a coach to get to where they are, to get to where you want to be. And if they happen to be in your region, then maybe they can make an introduction for you. Or if they happen to have gone the remote route, then they can also make an introduction for you. Maybe they're even willing to have coffee with you and share their experience. So keep that in mind when resourcing a coach.
Well, very often too, it's hard to find a drilling partner. And sometimes if someone's a step up or a point up from you, at the very least, you become a good drilling partner. You can feed ball so they can do what they want to do. And then meanwhile, you can be interviewing them and asking them and seeing them play. It's one way to do this without sort of a formal coaching relationship. It's also like, look, everyone's on YouTube. If you don't need a formal weekly, bi-weekly, monthly check-in, there's so much great content, not only on this show, but on YouTube. There's a lot of great resources. I think one of the challenges, Scott, though, is that when you start differentiating where you're learning this stuff, you might start getting differing opinions on a lot of it, and it could confuse you. I can think in particular of a backhand roll volley, and I can think of probably four different ways I've heard it coached, and it's like, oh yeah, but this is the way. So I think that part can get confusing. So that's why it's kind of nice to have a single person that's guiding you through, because it may not be the only way, but if you learn it that particular way, you'll become more consistent at it because it supports the rest of the stuff that particular coach is teaching. So I think you can muddy the water a little bit by getting resources and info from all kinds of different places.
It won't shock you that I totally agree with you, because that's what I do for a living, is provide in-person, student-centered, highly individualistic feedback. And sometimes they will come in saying, hey, I've watched this on YouTube, and can you tell me how that is or is not relevant to my game? And that's great for them, for asking their local expert to help decipher what is of benefit out there online. And a related note, as we're continuing scouting for the right coach for you, not every great coach has online material, but a lot of them do. And it's a great way to begin to kind of filter down the field. Take a look at what they may have on YouTube. Maybe they've got a little podcast. Maybe they've written some articles that may speak to you or make very clear, this is not the coach for me. I don't care for their tone, or maybe the personality comes through. Or as Mike said, he likes a coach to get in his face. Maybe you don't, and you want more of a gentle hand. Like I've shared, and my students can attest, I'm very much a guided discovery type of a coach. I ask a lot of leading questions, and I want my students going through the intellectual growth while they're on court with me, and we'll leave much of the mechanical development to the less expensive on-court time for them with a ball machine or a drilling partner, and then circle back to me. We spend 10 minutes on review and we move on from there.
One thing I would like to do with you sometime, we haven't really done it yet, but it sort of dovetails into one of the different types of coaching, because there's multiple ways to do this. You can obviously have a one-on-one with a student, which is great, but you can also have a three and me, which I know is one of your favorite ways to coach. It's you plus three other students, and you guys are playing points out, presumably talking about the points after. There's observed play, where you're watching your student play a game and taking some mental notes or some actual notes and giving them feedback afterwards. Tournaments, which is obviously a whole another level of stress. And then something that I would love to try with you sometime, Scott, which is while we're drilling, if something happens and I miss a ball or I hit the wrong type of shot, I would love a freeze type lesson, even in the middle of a point, and be like, okay, how did you end up hitting me in that left shoulder? And you can say, well, here's what I observed. Here's how your body was positioned, and here's how to prevent it in the future. And then I have something I go, okay, when I'm in that next position, I can fix that. Versus like after the point, oh, remember when I hit that, blah, 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 here's what happened. You know what I'm saying by that?
That happens a lot in the three and me sessions. I had two of them yesterday, and I get some funny looks when I've coached a particular strategy and then it plays out soon after. I've actually caught the ball in my hand in the middle of a rally to dramatically accentuate how stoked I am as a coach that my students were able to, within a minute or so, completely find success with that strategy. I turn to my partner and I apologize. Hey, playing with me, occasionally we lose rallies because I have to catch the ball and make a big point, but I'll try to make up for it in the next rally. So you mentioned the freeze. I guess that's as close to that as I ever do. I also make liberal use of the rewind button, which is immediately at the end of a rally where I've recognized an opportunity to share. I press rewind. We go right back into the positions we were in at the end of the rally. And then not surprisingly, I ask a few leading questions, primarily, what was your objective there? And if their objective matches what I think their objective should be, I compliment them and then give them a task for their ball machine or their drilling partner because the execution was off. But if they give me a blank stare, they don't know what their objective was. They didn't really commit, or they were not intentional about their shots selection, then we need to have a further discussion. And that's frequently the way a three and me session goes, is it's highly strategic and tactical. And we're working through the hierarchy of court positioning and shot selection and court awareness and partner movement. And from there, it's an enjoyable session. We play an awful lot of rallies, not a whole lot of talking. And my students tend to enjoy it. And I think they benefit.
Well, we're very fortunate here in SoCal. I belong to a club called Lost Cab, and it's where many of the local pros warm up before the big tournaments. Mary and Maggie Brosh are there. We'll get Hayden, Patrick Quinn. We'll get a bunch of big time players. But also, we probably have five or six coaches there. If you really are looking for a high level coach and you want to get better at this, it's so nice to be able to sit down and watch how they coach. There are three and me sessions that some of them do. But you might find that you're not comfortable compatible, either personality-wise or goal-wise, with a particular type of coach and style. And then you might find like, wow, I really like how this person does it. It totally matches my personality. I know some of the players this person coaches and they're great and they have nothing but great things to say. So it's nice to be able to see that if you could sort of hang out and interview and talk to some of the people they coach. And it's like, how was this for you? And if they're like, wow, they completely changed my game in 6 months. I've gone up a full level and now I'm winning tournaments. All right. Well, that's certainly worthy of more investigation and more evaluation for that particular coach. And if someone's like, yeah, I didn't really get a whole lot out of it, which I've heard. I've even taken weekend sessions with some people and been a little like, all right, I'm not sure if it was worth the $300 I paid, but it was cool to be around them and it was cool to watch them teach and that kind of thing. But as a student, I'm much more apt to want something semi-regular every couple of weeks or a drilling partner every week or something where I can have something consistent to work on and some eyeballs on me for it.
Many of my most successful student coach relationships, with me being the coach side, come as referrals from some of my other students. And that's great. They walk onto the court. They've had these discussions with their friends or acquaintances and they pointed them in my direction. And it's a great starting point. And they're ready right off the bat to ask questions. And they've already learned perhaps how to get the most out of me. And that's fantastic. And the other best success stories are for the pro listeners. In the last year, we've got a bunch of Boulder Pickleball members who listen and then others who come in from out of town. And how wonderful it is to start off with a shared set of terms, nomenclature, concepts. Someone even said to me just the other day, you know, could we talk a little bit more about the Hydra defense? I got a decent idea about that from listening to the pod, but would love to use our time on court together to get the visuals and really cement those ideas. So great idea about observing that coach in action, talking to some of their students, and even asking the prospective coach, may I talk to some of your students who are in a similar position as me, or perhaps have already advanced beyond where I am now and have gone where I want to go. Any decent coach should say, absolutely, let me give you two or three people to go ahead and reach out to. Another important factor, pretty unique to pickleball, especially for 4-0 to pro, is a level of synergy with your coach that has to do with whether or not you came from a tennis background. My suggestion is if you come from a healthy tennis background, you're going to have the greatest chance of success with a coach who also speaks the tennis language. So if they're not familiar with tennis, I think you're going to struggle there a little bit. And at the same time, if you're one of these unicorns that are approaching 5-0 without a tennis background, A, great for you. And I love watching that style of play that's clearly not from tennis. You don't want to fight your pickleball coach who comes from a high level of tennis background. Perhaps they don't come from a tennis background either. And they've achieved a high level of coaching and perhaps competitive play success without the tennis background. That's the coach for you. That's where you want to find and reach out. Or I do come from a tennis background, but I really embrace the challenge of working with high-level athletes who don't come from a tennis background. You're going to want to have that discussion before you get too far along.
The other big thing, we live in a world where everyone's got a smartphone. We got tripods. People have GoPros. Are they cool with you recording the lesson? Is there some sort of follow-up where you've recorded the lesson, then your coach has gone through it and given you a couple of notes? We have all kinds of technology to do that. So, I mean, you and I are big advocates of recording anyway, like just getting stuff down on video so you can watch yourself. That's a big deal. It is a thing if your lesson is being recorded and then your coach can do a little Mystery Science Theater 3000 and be like, here's what happened on this particular point. Or if you're recording a game or a tournament and you can have somebody just weigh in on it, that could be super helpful for you because it's very tactical. It's very practical because they're seeing you actually play typically at your best if you're at a tournament, or at least you're trying to play your best. And it's nice to be able to get a breakdown from someone. That could be all that person offers. I mean, if I was a pickleball coach, that would be a thing I would do. I could not even be a local coach on a local court, and I could be coaching people just on video. But if you find that that's important and you're a very visual person that can interpret from video, it might be a worthy conversation to have with that particular coach. And then Scott, you're a coach. How do you define success, or how do your students define success when working with you?
It's a unique answer for each relationship. I'm very curious. I'll be asking that leading question early on. If we work together for a year, how shall we define success for this relationship? As a coach, I don't want to make that definition for them. I certainly don't want to put out there like specific competition goals for a student. I'd like them to make a contribution to that conversation early on so that we're able to measure success. So students listening to this show, have that conversation with your coach. They could offer some idea of where that may go. But I think in the end, that's going to be up to you.
I think it's really helpful as a student to have your short, mid, and long-term goals. When I started last year, I wanted a two-hand backhand. That was one of the first things I wanted to work on. I knew that was going to be a multi-month process to get it to a point where I would be comfortable doing it in a game. And I actually remember the drilling session with my buddy Mike Wooten, where it started showing up in a game. I was in a hands battle, and all of a sudden I hit a two-y, and I was like, whoa, do you guys see that? It was like remarkable. I think that was like April, and I had started in January on the two-ing. So it took a few months to get settled and integrated, and I think that's really part of the process. Scott, you and I talked right before we started recording. I just had a chance to coach with an NFL player, a guy who spent his entire life being coached, and he was so coachable. And maybe that's something we need to highlight here. Being coachable is the most critical part of this relationship. You're spending your time and spending your money with someone on the court who has presumably more experience than you do, has a way of articulating how you can get better. Well, you've got to be able to accept that feedback. It can't be one of those things where you get ego-y about it and go, oh, well, I know what I'm doing. Otherwise, you're not going to get anywhere. You're wasting their time and your money on something that's not really going to advance your pickleball game. So I think you have to really walk in with open arms and an open mind and leave your ego at the door and just be like, look, I'm trusting you to mold me into a better player in this hour. And I suppose, Scott, that's the ideal client for you to be working with.
For sure. I'm fortunate I get a chance to work with students who I feel are highly coachable. Sometimes they need a little bit of nudging, but maybe it's the referrals that they're being referred by some of my more successful students and they come on ready to be coached. If they've listened to the show, they've got a pretty good idea of my style and they're bought in. I did want to circle back to your question about definition of success, and I believe you did a pretty good job of it in your follow-up. But to be focused more on the process goals and less so on the outcome goals. Process goals in this example could be, I'm going to schedule and attend and maximize 4 sessions a month with my coach. I'm going to have myself well prepared. I'm going to get the sleep that I need. I'm going to have the diet that I need. I'm going to clear my work schedule so that I am ready to maximize the session. I feel like if we're focused on those process goals, the outcome goals will be able to take care of themselves.
If you are in the market for a coach, hope you take this show and bookmark a few spots and make sure that you do your due diligence. Sometimes it literally will take you 10 people to find the one that is the right coach for you, but don't be afraid to try them out. I think it's super important to get somebody in your corner that really understands your game and understands your goals. So hope the show helped. Scott, as always, thank you so much. I know you need to get to a court. You guys go have some fun. Thank you for listening once again, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to 4.0 to Pro. For more tips, find us on Instagram at 4.0 to Pro. If you have a pickleball question, submit it at picklehelp.com. Now, get out there and dominate. But don't forget to have fun.